were to make a move and to telephone Louis Graham and offer to bring a material home, it'd been over here so long, as I say in this little telephone conversation. Debbie was out here her last day. She'd come to spend a little time with Missy and me, Faye's in Knoxville. That was on Friday, the 19th of September, 69. It's so much more satisfactory over here. The tape, it's so much more, it's much better, and it's much more reliable. Now, this is Friday, the 19th of September, 69, and this is Channel 1 Over, the beginning of Channel 1 Over. The beginning of Channel 1 Over.
Miss Graham?
Uh-huh.
This guy, Miles, speaking.
Uh-huh.
I just ran off your tapes and thought, I better get them back over there to you. They've been over here so long.
Well, I was going to run down there. I tried to get you about an hour or so ago, and no one answered, so I figured you was out.
I was right here. I was just down there fooling with the calves.
Oh.
Come on over.
Well, my daughter has my car now. She had to take the little grandson in to get it, the cast off of his arm.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know how long...
I'll come get you.
Uh-huh. But I can run down there as soon as she gets in. She ought to be around in about 3:30.
What time is it now? All right. If she doesn't call me, and I'll come get you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm as interested in that as you are.
Huh?
I'm as interested in that as you are. But you know, I'm no musician,
mm-hmm.
and I wouldn't undertake to touch it without you. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be right here.
Well, I can come on down, or if you're not busy, just bring it on, come on over. But you can't hardly bring all of yours. I'll be down a little while.
All right.
All right, thank you.
No, I don't think you need it all.
We got on the prayer and another song or two, and we played back, and I found out that it wouldn't work. I had left the microphone plugged in. I had left the microphone in when we were transferring from one machine to the other. So we had to go clear back to the prayer, and do it all over again. Now, I won't put in this bad tape, but Louise is right patient with it. And that's right tedious, you know, doing it and then doing it all over again when you want to go home and get to doing something else. So now at this point, we resume.
I don't believe I'd
use that because it doesn't come through as well. Now turn it up, turn it off.
I believe I'm talking to it myself. Now, don't let me tell you how to do it. We can just go right straight through it. But see, it sounds much clearer, and you've got a chance to hear it.
Will you write this one?
No.
You want my old big mouth after all.
Now you're going.
Now we're going to sing 123, Revive Us Again. Let everybody feel like they are really revived tonight. Put your whole heart in this singing. We want some good singing, and we want to have it recorded so we can enjoy it right on and on and on.
Now, about who else is there that you haven't talked about?
That's what she wants. said, do you know my that one, and then she wanted, I won't have to cross Jordan alone. So I found it on the record the other day. And I'm going to, when I learn how to use my microphones, I'm going to take it off of the record and put it on that. I got to fix the tape for her, because Mr. Gamma says she's so lonely, and she just stays there from one day in and day out. This is my favorite tape, and this is what I'm proud of. But now this was taken on Mr. Two's little machine. I never have been able to get this thing to do. That's even, this is the second one they've given me. But it wasn't the machine, it was a microphone. I paid $258 for this thing just to get my baby playing.
And if you'd known it, you could got that other one for $75.
Well, that's it. I'm always so blame anxious to do something when I get to make up my mind.
I didn't know it. I learned it. Did I tell you where I picked that up?
Mm-mm.
Miss Livengood had it. And she was recording some of her services for her son. And sent it in Vietnam. And I worked with her a little bit. And she just thought it was just an ordinary little tape recorder. And I could see what a beautiful thing it was. It's small, and it's.
Well, now Mr. Two's got a little one that he recorded this for me. And I think he said he paid $139. But this, to play it back, it is a good machine for that.
Oh, yes, that little one not good for playing back. You need a little bigger speaker, don't you think?
See what.
Yeah, the only reason she had it was just there in the store.
Oh, I need the ceiling.
Are you a coffee drinker?
Mm-mm. On early in the morning, I have my one cup, and I don't want the most of the next morning. But I want that one. And I want a nice big one, and I want it just like I want it.
Sugar and cream.
Well, what's the matter, you reckon? To temptation, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Shoot, that's what's wrong. I got the doggone thing back.
You want that on first?
Yeah, because that's crazy going back. I could have done this. The first song he played was Until Then. And you know, he doesn't know all these songs. I have to sing them for him. And then he'll play them. And when he got started, when I first come home after that heart attack, I bought me a little cord organ, $49.50. I thought that'd be something because the doctor said I had to be quiet.
Yeah.
Well, I got smart and stayed home 3 weeks and went back for 3 more weeks. And while I was gone, he kept sneaking up to my house and playing on that little cord organ.
Yeah.
So when I come home, he says, "Now you want me to play your tune?" I said, "Well, can you?" He says, "Why, sure I can." And he played Until Then, and What a Friend to Have in Jesus. I said, "Well, can you play in the garden?" He said, "Well, you sing it a couple of times, I can." And I sang it, and boy, he got to play it. So then, as soon as I got April, I went into town, and I bought us a little corn, paid $350 for it. Well, Lord, he just played like everything on it, both hands and both feet.
Yeah.
So his mom and daddy gave him a guitar for Christmas, where he plays a mouth organ and a guitar. So I carried him into Mr. Lipton's place to buy him a guitar case. And he says, "Come here, son, because I got something I want to show you." And he had this new Larry organ, the one I got now. And he says, "Miss Graham," said, "I don't want you to let her sing. So he's the most fantastic thing I've ever seen, not even to know these songs. So he sent him down there to this New Orleans and told him to play How Great Thou Art. Well, we had just come from down at Billy Graham hearing him. And he said at my he said at the organ from 1 o'clock to 2:30 when we got back home till he learned to play How Great Thou Art like Bev Shea did.
Why?
And he plays it and I sing it. Mary said, "Do please." I said, "Mary, you don't want that." She said, "Yes, I want it. I want you to, I want the one that you sing." And so I asked Mr. Lipton how much the organ was. He said, $2,000. I said, "Lord, man, I'm a widow woman." He says, "I know it." But said, "You got the money." He says, "I'll let you have it." For a 40% discount, said, "I won't hurt to have this organ." He just wanted to put that new type of organ in the community somewhere. So we were selling sand to the state road department for that park up at the prairie. So I said,
"Now, how did you sell them?"
Sand. We sold, had a bar, we sold the state road department some sand and give them a bar kit. So they dig me a hole from water from my cows, and then we'd have a fish pond too. So we were selling that. So I said to him, I said, "Son, you want this organ?" He said, "Man, if I had $1,495, I'd never go home without it." I said, "Well, let's take our sand money and buy this organ." He said, "All right." So I told Mr. Lipton to bring it out. And so he said, "Now, in a year or more, you'll have to buy him a big one because he'll outgrow this one."
Is that right?
And he just enjoys it. He just comes up. Last year, he went to school an hour ahead. I mean, at 11 o'clock, he'd come at 10 o'clock and start playing till time to catch that bird. Grandson now, Hort Graham. We also proud of little Hort. He had never played an organ until in October when I returned from the hospital. He had great news waiting for me. He has learned to play this organ in just a few weeks. And now he's going to give us a few of his favorite selections. The first is Until Then.
Thank you.
describing Jesus. My organ, you can make 27 different instruments, but now he's going to play the old-fashioned organ with the one keyboard. Later on in this tape, he will play it with both keyboards. What a friend we have in Jesus.
Some reason or other, the tape broke off, and we don't get that high note, not on this little tape, it's on the program. And then when Faye comes in, we don't get that recap of the boy learning the organ, and that's very fine. So this is, I suppose, this is the end of this tape on the first session of Friday the 12th of September '69, around 3:30 Channel 1 over, around 3:30. Channel 1 over, around 3:30, the end of the first Friday taping session with Louise Graham. Now, this is the second taping session on Friday the 19th of September. This is around 3:30, 3:35, Channel 1 over. This is the second taping session where we finish up that little tape of the gospel sing at her family reunion that Saturday night when Nick was here and helped me. Now, Debbie's here now, and we set out. Oh, it's marvelous. I said, I just want Debbie to hear about some of these things. But first, she started out on her own narrative. This blood and thunder story about doing good to somebody. The man stayed drunk all the time. Poor little woman in the hospital.
Good afternoon.
Well, good evening, and good morning, and good shopping.
It don't look like we moved today, does it? Since you were here a week ago.
I've had a rough day today.
Well, let's catch a breath. I got up this morning first thing.
Did you go to church Sunday morning? Sunday night?
No.
Down here?
No.
My poor little old preacher even announced it down here about this sorry family I had. They had a baby out at the medicine, and they called me and they asked me if I had a place in the world that they could stay a couple of nights. They was putting the baby in for open heart surgery. Well, I had a empty trailer. Me old jackass went and let them go in that. I announced it at my church Sunday morning, and Lord, Sunday afternoon, the groceries come in for them. Brother Cook announced it down here Sunday night, and they sent me money and more groceries.
Why?
Three nights ago, he cut the food, got drunk and cut the food all night long, and I have a little cottage there with this practical nurse that has two patients that live just as close from here to my car. Well, they had no business being all upset. One of them's an eye transplant, and by the way, she's going to see and hasn't seen in 40 years. And so when she called me that morning at 6 o'clock, wake me up, I said, Lord, have mercy, lady, I can't come down there and get upset now. So as soon as I got my breakfast and got me some coffee, I went down and I got his old head told.
Oh, really?
I done everything but told him what he was. So he promised me he wouldn't do it no more.
Yeah.
This morning at 6 o'clock, Louise, you awake? I said, no, I am now, but I wasn't. All day raised hell all night. So I knew that I wasn't going to get upset. I didn't do a thing, but I went to the telephone. I called the sheriff's office. I told him 2 years ago I wouldn't need to call him, but I didn't feel like I was going down there and get upset about with the man, and I felt like that they could come hit me. So they sent the little Montgomery boy. I didn't know he was a deputy. And that sucker was so drunk he didn't know his head from a hole in the ground. And what was so bad about it, the poor little old woman, the mother of this here 3 weeks old baby, is 40 years old and about as big as my leg. Her whole body ain't as big as my leg. And pitiful, oh my. And got the prettiest little girl about 3 years old, then a bigger girl, 14, and a boy, 19. And bless the Lord, he didn't have no driver's license, and he was driving to keep the old drunk daddy from driving. So he was so drunk he didn't want the deputy to see him. He said, he just went to the door and said, Mr. Anderson, Ms. Graham said, you'll have to get out. And says, I'm going to stay right here till you get out. So get busy. But he went and sit in the car because he didn't want the deputy to get him, you see. So when he happened to think about the boy not having license, he slid over and got under the wheel. And Harvey says, you might as well get on that side. Says, you're not going to drive that car. So I'm going to let this boy drive this car to the hospital to see about that baby. And if the city don't get him or the road patrol don't get him, says, he's all right. But said, if the county gets him, I'll help him out. I says, why don't he just go on up and get another license? It won't cost but $3. He made out like he had his license in Panama City. But I said, son, I will call for you and get someone in your house to get your license and give me the number. No, ma'am, it's nobody there you can call. So everything I wanted to do, he has had an answer for it, so I know the young'un ain't even got no license. and he was fixing to go into service, but he got just a delay until after his baby's operation. And I'm telling you, when they got everything in, I give them sheets, give them pillows off my bed. Went to my camper and got all my camping outfit and let them use it. So I sit right there and saw everything, and then I went back in there, and they was in the car ready to leave. I said, hey, wait a minute, stop them, Harvey. And I know one of the pig pens, if you got pigs out here, wasn't the worst of my trip. I said, come right back in here, little woman. I said, not that mother. She's sick and she's weak from that baby. I said, but you big old gal, you get in here, you gonna clean my trailer up. I said, I done cleaned up after people like you all my last time. I said, come here, Harvey, let me show you something. And Lord have mercy. The little girl says, well, the sink was leaking. If it was fixed like it ought to have been, it wouldn't have been. Harvey, she says, I don't feel like cleaning it up. Harvey says, you getting in and clean this grill trailer up. So he and I stood right there till they cleaned it up. I says, get the ice box, sink, and everything clean. So I said, now, Harvey, I says, I'll stay here alone. And I said, that sucker better not come around and mess around me tonight. Because I got a 410 and I got a 32. And I know just exactly how to use both of them. But I said, I wouldn't want the blood of that sorry thing on my hand. So he went back to him. He said, now let me tell you, says, Miss Graham's not well. And said, don't you let me catch you back on Graham's Hill. He said, is that plain? He said, yes, sir. He said, now if I even catch you out this way, like you even want to come on out here, I'm going to lock you up. And says, you ain't going to drive this car. Says, I'm thinking about other people that you could hurt.
You know,
I called the hospital and I talked with them and I said, you don't need to call my number anymore. See, they left my number for them to call. 5 and 6 times a day I've gone down. They ain't gonna do a thing, Mr. Miles, but go right on back to Panama City and leave that youngin' on that stage.
Die.
And so I called the hospital a while ago and I was talking to them and they said, well, Miss Graham, what do you think? Says, after we have put every effort that we have to save this baby's life, and then turn it over and put it in a home like that? I said, well, that is something to think about. And she says, well, what would you say? I said, well, I sure hate to see it go in a place like that. She says, of course, it's very, very bad. She says, we may not even have to worry about where it's going. I said, well, if you want to know my opinion, it would be better if God took it right on home right now than to go into a home like that. Yeah. Every time I do that, I swear I'm not going to do it again, and I do it, and then I get this. I believe this is the worst slap I've ever got, though. I'm telling you.
Well, you had your share of those things, Louise.
The preacher come home Sunday night and called me. He says, Miss Graham, I got $10 for you from Mark Richardson, and says, I never have heard as many nice things said about anybody as I heard about you tonight. I says, well, you just haven't got in the right place yet. He said, no, but said Mark told me, said, well, that just comes down Louise's alley. Says she's doing that. Said just as sure as the sun rises in the east, she's going to do it. She's in by the end of need. So I'm going to tell. I'm not even going to let Brother Cook know it because he was so nice. And Lord, we prayed so hard for that woman and that baby and that family. And him laying in there on the bed, we thought he was sleeping because they'd been up at the hospital all night. He was just snoring up a storm. Getting over a drunk. Ain't that something?
Boy, it's just disgraceful. Just disgraceful.
Boy, I can't stand it. Oh!
They don't know how many people they make miserable, do they? Where did you learn to do all your used guns and all like that?
Good boy, man. I used to be a cowboy, but it happened to be a female cowboy. I used to hunt.
What'd you hunt?
Rabbits, squirrels, deer.
She lived up
fox.
In town all her life. Tell her a little something.
Oh.
I'm glad she's here, Louise.
Lord, I can ride I used to ride a horse, making a horse going just as hard as he could go, and I could crack a yearling. If we couldn't pin a cow and my father wanted to butcher it, he picked the cow out, he picked the yearling out, and he says, all right, honey, that's the one I want. And I'd get him separated, and I'd get him going just as hard as he could go. The faster he could go, the quicker I could kill him. And I could hit him right between the eyes. And I could rope just as well as I could shoot. And I can shoot yet. I had an opportunity to try it a couple of months ago. We've had a whole lot of iron that had been piled up.
Yeah.
And my maid had carried some pieces, holes out. And when she come back, she was just white as I am. And she saw this big rattlesnake. And we could just see him just between the two irons, but I couldn't see his head. And I could just hear his rattles. But it was just an opening right through his body. And I kept throwing in there, thought he'd stick his head up, you know, ready to charge. And he wouldn't, so I cracked down and I shot him right through the stomach. And he pushed his head up, and then I took the other barrel and took his head right off, right back of his neck. And I got me a rake and started to pull him out, and then the girl says, "Oh, Lord, Miss Graham, don't." I said, "That snake's dead." And it cut his head right off right back of his neck, and she says, "I sure hope you don't never get mad enough for me to shoot me."
Oh, those rattlers. I sure have respect for them.
Yeah. Of course, I was shooting that with a shotgun, but I could. Now, down at the river, we was sitting at the canal, and it's a little island across there, and we were sitting down. The bank was right steep, and this snake come out of that little island and come right across and was coming right towards us and the two girls that was with me. They jumped up and run, and then Ruby thought about leaving me down then, you know, when I can't run anyhow if it's not on level ground since I've had this operation on my leg. So she come back down there and helped me up the bank, and I had my little overnight case in my car that I carry my pistol in, and I went and got it, and I shot that snake for her. And I had to shoot him in the middle of his back to make him, you know, they won't ever put your head, put the head up. If you shoot him down in the body, they'll cock that head right up there, and you can just take it off.
Yeah, well, I never
thought
of that.
They'll do it.
Well, now, was it your daddy that you picked up that from?
Well, I imagine the history,
just
all
when you were
every,
growing
every,
up.
But yeah, my father taught me.
Well, now he was. I didn't get the impression he was that sort of fellow, was he?
Oh, well, my father. He knew how to take up for himself.
He did.
He didn't let nobody walk over his wife and 11 young'uns.
Yeah.
And my son Andrew, he's a crack shot. Lord have mercy, he carries these people. He goes to Wyoming. You ought to go see what he's got in his house that he's killed. He killed 3 deer and an antelope last summer, last fall with a bunch of people, Jim Clayton and all of them, and you know, not supposed to kill that many. He could kill 2, but he went once before. He flew out there and got 2. And then he got 3 this time, an antelope, so he had to give them all one so that he could come out. And he's got that antelope's head. And it is beautiful. My little old grandson's a good shot. Yeah, 15 of them was on a bear hunt, honey, and all the old men's head was full from drinking, but my son, he doesn't drink nor smoke. But he'll go off and hide. I cannot understand it to save my life. He'll carry this bunch off, and they'll get to drinking, and he'll cook for them and wait on them and rub the heads and bring them home. 40 times a night, the phone ringing. Lena, is Andrew with so-and-so? Yeah, all right. Miss Graham, is Andrew with us? Yeah, all right, we all right. As long as Andrew's with them, they satisfied. But it was 15 in this bear hunt, and you know how Andrew had 17 bear dogs, and the way they do, they put the dogs out, and they trail these bear, and they run them up a tree. Then you shoot them in the tree. Well, 2 of them went in the tree, the old mama bear and the baby bear. So Andrew wanted to let the boys, Hoyt was about 10, No, he was about 12, and Andrew was about 13. So Andrew and all of them got way back, and they felt like, you know, if you injure them and don't kill them and they come, they'll attack you.
Yeah.
So Andrew got way on the back with his rifle, and he felt like that if the boys missed him, he'd catch them, you know, he'd kill them. And do you know those two little rascals cracked down on those two deer? Of course, they was a good ways from them. And they brought them both down at the same time, and they was the sweetest thing about it. My older grandson, they didn't claim the big one. They didn't know which one was whether he killed the little one or the big one. And they never did say. But when they got up to the Gainesville Sun office to have the picture made, the oldest little boy took the biggest bear's head. That was the first time that they made the mistake.
Well, now, have you done things like that too? Excuse me.
Yeah, I used to hunt.
Well,
well before
tell
I,
us
when
about
I came,
some of your
when house. I Mr. Graham and I was used to hunting. This was he's gone now. I don't guess they can arrest him, but. We had a wonderful watermelon crop and squash and all, and the deer was just eating it up.
Yeah.
Well, old camp down here in Gainesville,
now,
out
in
Ocala, well, that's been about 10 years ago.
Oh, that old?
He turned loose 25 female and 2 buck deer out there in the back of. He turned them out on his property, but see, we joined him, and he didn't plant nothing for them. It was us. So old Mr. Graham was so upset when we was packing those squash. We had 8 crates of squash. We put them all in a crate just to show the game warden. So he made me go to the house and call him. And he come out and he says, well, Mr. Graham, I don't know a thing in the world I'm going to tell you to do, but just spray them. He says, how often would I have to spray these squash? He says, twice a week. He says, now you mean to tell me that I got to get out here paying niggers $6.50 a day to go up and down these rows and spray squash twice a week? And he said, nope, I ain't gonna do it. He says, I've got a right to protect what I got. And he says, now you might as well make up your mind, cause Hart Graham ain't gonna let him eat my things up. He and I went over to the woods one day and he had a double barrel shotgun. And there was about 8 in our field. So he cracked down with one, and he got one with one barrel and one with the other barrel. Everybody that's ever heard of it said that's something that you know, a deer is so quick. But I've shot mine near that good. Of course, I didn't shoot it right in the head where I killed it, but I shot it in the body. But he shot one with one barrel and then with the other, and he got 2 of them that one time.
Shoot him in the head.
And then I hit mine and it ended it, and we had to walk. We had to walk and walk and walk. We followed that pole deer, and we never did find the other one that I got.
Oh.
I don't think I must have hit her in the flank. You know they jump. They can jump.
Yeah.
And then we used to hunt a lot at night.
What'd you hunt at night?
Deer.
Deer.
Long time ago.
Did you ever hunt the wild hogs?
No, I never had done that. But Andrew has. He's got a head. Oh, gosh, that's ugly.
How big are they?
Oh, some of them are huge things. Yeah, some of them. Over in Levy County, over in Gulf Hamlet, while they've had them to weigh 500 and 600 pounds.
Yeah.
Well, I
thought Hoyt. Now, I'll just call you over first name, Mr. Graham. I thought he was a timber man.
Yeah, that's how come he got to hunt. So he's in the woods all the time.
Well, you were talking about raising vegetables.
Well, we did. He took care of the lumber business, and I took care of the farm.
Oh, you mean you're a farmer too?
Yeah, I told him what he knew about it. See, I was raised on a farm, he wasn't.
Did you ever see such a person?
God, I'm hot. Turn your fan on.
Where is it? I got it out,
yeah. I hate to go, but I think I gotta go.
Am I in your way, baby?
I think I can get out.
Yeah, you can get out. You can go far.
You live in Gainesville?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, honey, come out and see me. I live over by 75, and I got a lot of history and a lot of interesting things over there.
Well,
I live in, my grandfather settled in 1831, and the old rocks and all this where the stagecoach depot used to stop, and the tea room, and I got pictures of all that.
Well, I'm leaving this weekend, but next time I'm home, I'd love to.
Where are you from?
I'm from Gainesville.
Oh, I mean, you're leaving to go out.
What all do you have over there?
Well, I got a lot of pictures and notes and everything pertaining to making open. To make it over church. One time they had to sell a slave. We got so poor.
Yeah.
Making over church got so poor, and someone gave them a slave.
Yeah.
And they sold a slave for $500 to keep going.
Is that right? Now that's not in your time.
No, you know I ain't that in.
That's way back. Oh, the slave. Sure, slave. Excuse me.
That's for your time. That was a good little bit before your time. That was before your time.
I'm living up that time. I'm Louis, I want you to tell me something before we start this, and we can get this done. This is beautiful. Well, I just been playing it to Debbie.
Oh, well.
She's a musician.
My grandson does that, honey. She hit hard?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And never had a music lesson and never saw an organ only in church till in October.
It's beautiful.
I'm telling you, I'm just so proud of him. I have to crow. You heard me crowing now.
Yeah, that towards the end. That's where we left off, where you were crowing.
Just beautiful.
And he's such a sweet person with it, and I felt so proud of him. I had my boyfriend there one night, and he had a mouth organ, and he says, Hart, can you play some old honky-tonk thing, you know? And he says, well, I'm sorry, Mr. Campbell, I don't play anything but church songs and hymns and a little bit of Hank Williams. He can sing anything, I'll sing parts for him.
Yeah.
His grandfather's piece is I'm Dwelling in Beulah Land.
Yeah.
And you know that's a hard thing, and that baby plays it perfect.
Yeah.
Ms. Easteps heard part of it, and she said it was just marvelous. I'd like for you, when you come down now, come out and see us sometime.
I will.
If you got a boyfriend that can unload and load a boat, we'll take him to the river with us. I got a beautiful place down on the Swanee.
Yeah. What place is that? You call it the Johnson Spring. Place?
O.G. Johnson did build it,
Oh, I don't know that. Who is he, Johnson?
Well, out here at Flemington, in those forks, you know where that store is?
Yeah.
That they own that store then during his lifetime.
Is that an old family?
No, they haven't been here too long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's really nice down there. I was going this afternoon after it got such bad weather, I'd give it up.
I'll have to come back soon.
Yes, you will. Louise, before we do this, I have something that's been on my mind a good while. It's something that you had a hand in. And it's very nice. And I just want to hear it from you, because it's a long story, and I just want to hear you tell about it. When Ms. Guthrie got married.
I was matron of honor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you go?
No.
Oh, I decorated that.
I didn't know about it until it's over.
Honey, it's the funniest thing. She's older than I am. And
I'll turn that back on. I can't hear too good.
This boy, they had raised him.
Yeah.
And he went off to the service and come back. And see, Mr. Guthrie was about 20 years older than Mary. And I didn't ever feel like that Mary loved Marvin, you know. And you could have knocked me down with a toothpick when she comes sit down on my bed by then. She says, Louise, I'll talk to you. I said, well, what is it, Mary? She says, well, whenever I get in a jam, and says, I want someone to advise me, I always come to you.
My hearing not good. Put your chin over on that side.
I said, what do you want to know, Mary? She says, do you reckon I could love Marvin? I says, well, I guess you do love him, don't you? You raised him. She says, no, I don't mean that way. She says, Marvin, I'm talking about getting married.
Yeah.
I says, but she says, I don't know what people would think.
Yeah.
I says, Mary, to heck with what people think if you can love Marvin. She says, well, it's like this. Says, he's made everything we've got out there, the cows and everything. And said, if I was to die tomorrow, said Mr. Guthrie's stepchildren, her stepchildren, Mr. Guthrie's children, would come in and take everything away from Marvin. So she says, well, what do you think? Would you marry him? I says, Mary, do you love Marvin? She says, yes. I says, do you love Marvin as a sweetheart? Do you love Marvin as a companion? Do you love Marvin as you could be a wife to Marvin? Do you love Marvin as a partner? She says, well, I don't know. I says, well, until you do know, I wouldn't marry him, because now you can tell him to get down the road. But I said, if you do. So in about 4 weeks, she come back again, and she says, well, Louise, we've decided to get married. It's going to be July the 5th. And she says, I want you to help me. I planned the whole wedding for her. I decorated all the education building down there for her. And it was a pretty little wedding.
Tell me about it.
But she had a mate. I was her matron of honor.
Yeah.
And
I saw the pictures.
Polly, you did?
Uh-huh. Shirley Dodd had some.
And Polly Smith was her maid of honor. And Toby Shiraz was the best man.
Yeah.
And why, she had just a wedding just like that. God darn. Kravass charged us $75, and I could have done that if she'd have let me put two baskets of flowers and the candlesticks in there. But it was a pretty, if you saw the pictures,
yeah,
it was a beautiful wedding.
Yeah.
And I had little old Kenny Osteen, he come up from St. Petersburg and sang for us. It wasn't nothing missing with that wedding.
Kenny helped me make salads out here.
It was nice.
I went to school with Kenny.
Kenny Osteen?
Oh, did
you? Yeah, you know, he was back the other day to Sandra Mountain's wedding, and I thought he would have sang, but they didn't have it. Do you know Sandra Mountain?
No, I don't.
She went to school in Gainesville. Where'd you go to school, in St. Petersburg?
No, I went to PKI.
Tell me about the wedding.
Well, I don't know nothing else to tell you, only when they got through with the wedding, well, me and my boyfriend went to my place at the river. That's where they spent the honeymoon. They wouldn't go without us. I had the bridal suite all fixed up for them 2 or 3 days ahead. And Jack and I went down. Jack was one of her, Marvin's real close friends. And I let him be my boyfriend so that I wouldn't be by myself that night. And we went on down and stayed a couple of nights with them, and then we come on home, left them down there. But they wouldn't go down to the place on the river by themselves.
Yeah.
And they seemed just happy as a lark. If she'd just pull them hairs out of her chin and try to fix up, well, she wouldn't look so darn old. I'm trying to look young, and she looks like she's trying to look old.
I know Miss Guthrie. You know,
well, I've known her all my life. We've known each other.
You have?
Yeah, my gosh. She's lived right out there, she's lived out there since I can remember. I don't know when she didn't live there.
She married in 1935, she said.
Well, I did too, but I mean, I knew the old man, Guthrie, you know, even before doing the... Well, I knew his first wife.
Oh.
And the two his children by his first wife. Glenn Smith married one of them, and Miss Rouse's brother married one of them, and they come up to my sings once in a while. Yeah, they had a beautiful wedding cake and nice reception, and there wasn't no flies on that wedding.
How are the songs, the music?
Well, Kenny had the music. He sang and had a good organist. Why don't you come to my house sometime so I can talk?
I will, thank you. I will.
I got
sorry,
round
I gotta
up
go now. I wish I could stay and talk.
Okay,
honey.
Well, I'm glad to have met you.
I'll see you.
Okay, here we go. Need light?
I don't think so. I'm burning up.
Oh, dang it.
You know, I'm used to air conditioning.
Oh, are you?
You know what? I want you to show me how to record in my, with my business here now.
Do what?
I want you to show me how to use this. I never have used it. Tried it, but it was no good. I've got the new microphones now. But we better not mess with it till we... Till we get the...
No, let's do this.
Let's do this, because I haven't got too long.
Yeah.
Now what? Where do we stop?
Is this the organ? Which is the organ?
No, this is...
Louise Graham, that's the gospel. Oh, we finished the organ. I was going to do some more of that. And the last thing you got on here was your lecture, what do you call it?
Too, I was so proud of him to know that he's played only hymns. For me.
Isn't that nice tone? That's beautiful. Huh?
I guess so.
You got a good voice and that's a nice tone. This is nice.
I had two real estate men come out to see me yesterday and today about my land.
That pleases you?
Oh, it sure does. I'm going to get out from someone with some of this taxes.
Yeah, dream.
I don't have my cows no more and ain't no sense in it.
Make $500 rent, that's gonna help you too much.
Now look, this...
I won't keep your fences up.
I know. Fella come over the other night to see Mr. Graham die on Tuesday night.
Uh-huh.
And Hoyt came over and played the organ for me, and I think he really just wanted to see you. He kept playing How Great Thou Art.
Uh-huh.
That's the meanest thing to ever get started. I wish
they are
mean. And when he got up close, I said, "Good Lord, Jimmy," I said, "I was just down at your old home the other day." And it was two boys, Pink and Jimmy, and one girl, Sarah.
What's Sarah like?
Oh, she's a real quiet, reserved, hard to get close to. Well, Ms. Welch was too. Now, Mr. Welch was just different. He was always our umpire playing ball.
Yeah.
He umpired for the boys to play years and years and years and years.
Yeah.
Ms. Welch stayed right here. Didn't take any interest in anything.
He just cooked for the family.
Fred
would remember the biscuits. He used to cook right all day on that stove.
Yeah,
It wasn't that stove.
Where's the big old, I guess they took the old flue out.
Yeah,
his
old neck
big
corner.
Old wood stove.
When I come here, the floor was wore, the acid thin. I put this tile on. I had to put in new floor there.
Many a meal been cooked here.
Many meals been cooked there.
Well, did Mr. and Ms. Balls put this as a machine? Maybe Mr. Two has a little one that I can. I'm going to learn how to record on this lame thing after I done paid $258 for it.
Well, now, let me tell you. Well, we'll record right now as soon as you rewind. It just spoke, but you know Robert Smith,
yeah.
His boy Bobby up there, would know right where to send.
Well, it won't be bad for me because Mr. Two lives in the trailer right then. He'll loan me his little machine.
All right.
And I can put it on that house and go about my business.
Be better to have let them do it. They make a half dozen at one time.
Oh, well, I'd better do it. It'd be better.
And this is a tape that we made. I just said tape put together out here.
Now, how much do I owe you?
Yeah,
I'm going to pay you for these things.
Oh, Lord. Louise, you do so much to people. I'd just be ashamed to charge you for anything like this. I'd just like to come to your
well,
party.
That's I'm yeah, going. I tell you what I'm going to do. And I want you all to come. What I want to do is to have a little supper or something for the young deputies that's on the sheriff's department.
Mm-hmm.
They so good coming to me when I need them.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to give a little appreciation to them.
Yeah, they appreciate it too. Don't
uh-huh.
you know they
will? As long as I've been in Lockwood County, I cannot remember when there was an appreciation dinner for the sheriff's department. They always cussed.
Yes.
And I'm just, sometime I'm just going to, I'd like to have it down on the river where I'll have the boats and old farm to enjoy.
Those boys are nice boys, aren't they?
No, Harvey Montgomery, I didn't even know him. He come up this morning and I said to him, I said, "Now, Deputy," I said, "had 2 years ago," I said, "I wouldn't have called the sheriff's office to put that man out." I said, "I took my pistol, went down there, and I'd put his head down that trailer," but I said, "I'm not supposed to get excited." And he says, "I know, Miss Graham," and I said, "We dared him to call my son." I said, "Andrew would have went down there this morning at 3:00 and threw him out piece by piece." And he laughed again. And still, he had big dark glasses on, and I hadn't seen Tracy in about 10 years, Harvey about, ooh, he's up this high and a handsome fella.
Yeah.
So, boy, he was so nice, he went right down there and stayed with me till they got everything out.
Louise, what all has Andrew done? He's done a little of everything, hasn't he?
Well, now, I tell you, Andrew was raised in the woods with Mr. Graham.
That's what I
think. See, we have had big machinery.
Yeah.
It's not a piece of machinery that he can't operate.
Yeah.
And see, when 75 was going in down there, he was superintendent down there. Because he could, when anybody was out and he could need to fall in, he would.
Yeah.
Now he is a foreman for Marcus Conant, the Texaco man.
Uh-huh.
Now he has about 12 big pieces of road building machinery.
Uh-huh.
And we have one, you know, I still have my big bulldozer. So
no.
We still have it. You know, Hoyt just bought it 3 months before he died. Had always wanted one, and we had got our first payment from Stucky.
Oh.
And he had got his bulldozer and used it 3 months.
Oh.
And I said, there's three things man wanted to buy my truck. I said, Lord, man, there's three things that'll never be sold. I said, it's not even money, and that's the last way it can, to buy three pieces of equipment without God. And I said, that's my pickup, my little old Ford tractor, and my bulldozer. And I said, the pickup Mr. Graham was in it when he took sick, and he loved his little old new tractor, and he always wanted a bulldozer, and he finally got that.
Yeah.
But see, that's it. Andrew knows everything. Now, these big drag lines, or these big payloaders, anything, and he's mechanically minded with them, he can fix any of them, any kind of power saw.
Now, this is in Channel 1 over, and this is nice in here. I'll tape this again on Channel 2 right. This is the end of Channel 1 over, Louise Graham, on Friday the 19th of September, 69. Louise Graham on Friday the 19th of September, 69. The end of Channel 1 right. Over. The end of Channel 1 over. The end of Channel 1 over. And I'll continue this on Channel 2 right.